This is a Seeking Delphi special edition with interviews recorded at the XPRIZE Foundation headquarters, Culver City, California, April 29th and 30th, 2019. I'm Mark Sackler. The future lives here. Since the mid-1990s, the XPRIZE Foundation has funded dozens of multi-million dollar prizes to push the frontiers of science and technology. Founded by Peter Diamandis, the foundation is probably best known for its Lunar XPRIZE with the challenge to a commercial enterprise to put a rover on the moon. I had the amazing experience of attending the Future Impact of Longevity Roadmap Workshop, and it immediately ranks as one of my best experiences in the 2.5 years of producing this program. The meeting kicked off with an introduction from Diamandis and a keynote from world-renowned technologist and author Ray Kurzweil. But the key motivator was really Sergey Young. He's an XPRIZE Innovation Board member who manages a multi-billion dollar venture fund and founded the Longevity Vision Fund. At the close of the first day of the workshop, I asked him what it was that brought him to the longevity movement from venture capital.
Well, funny enough, when I think about why people start to think about their health and longevity, it's usually like two reasons. Why is it's just huge deterioration of their health conditions, usually in a very short period of time, or the death of someone which is very close to them. So I had, my personal story, I had a combination of both. So then I started to think, okay, if I'm going to sort out longevity and healthy life extension part, what's the incremental effort for me to do it for the whole planet? Because if I'm going to be solving this problem, there's many other people going to be solving this problem. So I thought I'll just need to look at the impact platform to bring people together to solve it. Obviously, XPRIZE was my first choice because I'm an innovation board member of XPRIZE Foundation. So, you know, I've worked on many prizes together with Peter and Ray and other interesting guys. So, you know, I kind of thought, okay, we'll do Longevity XPRIZE and we will try to develop ideas for that. And that's the reason why we're having the event here.
Extending longevity, ending aging, is a kind of a far more complicated problem than putting a lander on the moon.
Physics is straightforward.
Biology is much more complicated.
I think it's a great comment. So, number one, if there is one single solution to life extension, we would just discover that long ago, right? So I think it just reconfirms the complexity of this whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Number two is, well, that's the reason why we're discussing longevity roadmap, right? As a like impact roadmap, because it just very likely we'll have a series of, you know, different XPRIZEs contributing to the same goal. So I think it will be crazy to expect that just one XPRIZE competition might solve this problem. So, and I like, just imagine what we discussed today, right? Like, even having a set of biomarkers that majority of us will agree that we can use it to measure biological age and to measure how effective and efficient the treatments and intervention is like natural first step. So it's just an idea about the very long path that we need to go before we solve this issue.
Seems like there was a lot of talk today about the social implications.
Yeah, it's my favorite one.
What do you think came out of that today?
I'm very happy to learn that the social dimension of that is actually in hearts and minds of people here, right? Because the perception that you have to just looking into that from the outside is just that academics just too busy with their research models, and then investors are just too busy with making money, and no one actually bothers to bring the social aspect of that. So, you know, I think it's very important that what we discussed today, that unless we create internal demand for life extension, which will be seen by positive light by society, it's just going to be very difficult for us to develop and implement these breakthroughs.
Okay, if there's one specific outcome you'd like to see out of this by the end, of the end of the session tomorrow, what would that be?
Yeah, I mean, frankly speaking, my dream is to kind of launch the first XPRIZE within longevity team as soon as possible. So few ideas that can give us the theme for the first step, for the first XPRIZE, this is my desired outcome of today and tomorrow.
Scientists, entrepreneurs, futurists, and life extension advocates were among the 5 dozen or so attendees working towards formulating ideas for one or more longevity XPRIZEs. One of those advocates was Keith Comito, a computer programmer and mathematician who also heads up the Life Extension Advocacy Foundation. I asked him for his views on the proceedings.
Well, I think what's interesting is, as its early steps of sort of putting together the idea of what should potentially be a longevity-focused XPRIZE, the room here has many different stakeholders and a very wide cross-section of people from different backgrounds with, you know, very different ideas of how to proceed, which I think is very interesting and lively. And, you know, it'll be very interesting to see which ideas rise to the top by the end of the next 2 days.
So obviously your Longevity Extension Advocacy Foundation has a major stake in what's going on here. How is this going to kind of segue into your program coming up this summer?
Sure, you know, so we at LEFA, Life Extension Advocacy Foundation, as you know, we're very focused on trying to engage the public and really inform everyone to get a truly grassroots movement behind this initiative. So I think what I'm interested in here is to see if the XPRIZE that arises can be something that brings the public along. I think that's not only a side note, but that can be a powerful force for catalyzing whatever the goal of the XPRIZE is, to make it a true human endeavor that involves everyone. And, you know, that obviously fulfills our mission at LEAF of trying to, you know, catalyze the transformation of a grassroots movement. And one of the things that we're doing, as you know, is having a conference in New York City on July 11th and 12th to make that bi-coastal. You know, a lot of the action happens out here on the West Coast, so we're trying to make it happen on the East Coast too. And, you know, initiatives from very visible organizations like XPRIZE will help in that mission. You know, the more different organizations and people and entities that are leveraging their networks behind this, the more credible the field becomes and the more of a chance we have to really have a positive effect for everyone's health.
One of the most popular out of over a dozen XPRIZE proposals that were generated during the workshop was Keith's for an award for the remediation of Alzheimer's disease. It's no surprise that one of the other top XPRIZE candidate concepts came from Aubrey de Grey. His proposal and Keith's were the top 2 vote-getters among the group. Aubrey proposed a prize for the demonstration of a 5-year reversal of aging achieved with a therapy taking no more than 3 months in groups of cohorts in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. One of the biggest challenges, at least until recently, for executing Aubrey's idea would have been how to measure the outcome. Being effectively 5 years younger won't create much of a visible difference in anybody. And that's where our next interview comes in. The eponymous Dr. Stephen Horvath came up with the solution to the age measurement question.
There's a lot of attention to the methylation clock and the other Horvath biomarker clocks for aging. Why is this so important in terms of the future of the whole longevity extension movement?
Well, one of the bottlenecks in validating anti-aging treatments is really a way to measure aging, because there's of course a billion-dollar industry that peddles various anti-aging remedies, and everybody can make certain claims, but how do you validate it? And the epigenetic biomarkers really stand out in terms of their reproducibility and validation in very large human epidemiological cohort studies. And so I think a lot of people appreciate these biomarkers for, on the one hand, identifying anti-aging interventions in a dish, you know, because they apply to cell cultures in a dish, they apply to organoids and so on, but also then ultimately, as I mentioned, to validating claims in clinical trials, and ultimately also to save the costs of validating anti-aging interventions, because when you think about it, in order to show that something, for example, reduces your mortality risk, you typically have to wait for maybe 10 years before you get it, you see an effect, you know, in for example, 60-year-old people. You have to follow them for a long time and enroll a lot of people. So having these epigenetic clocks and these epigenetic biomarkers for validating an anti-aging treatment within a year, for example, you know, greatly reduces the costs of conducting clinical trials.
Yes, I recall the presentation in Berlin that suggested you could cut 2 decades down to 2 to 3 years or less. So you think that that's realistic? And when, how soon will we be able to do that, or can we do it now?
Oh, we can do it now. I mean, the good news is we already have validated epigenetic biomarkers. People are already using them, you know. Now, there will always be improvements, no doubt, you know. But the good news is we have biomarkers that are already being used, you know.
Yeah. Now, is there one global one, or is it a matter of having to use different ones for different processes and systems within the body?
Yes, that's a very pertinent question, because often people talk about the epigenetic clock, but the truth is we have multiple epigenetic clocks, and they have different applications. For example, we have a clock that is tailor-made for skin cells or buccal swab samples. Then we have other clocks that are tailor-made for blood. Some clocks are all about measuring your risk of mortality and lifespan, how long will a person end up living. Other clocks, more about, I want to say, forensic applications, just literally measuring chronological age, calendar age, really, for example. And so these clocks have really different purposes, and they also apply to different tissues, skin versus blood versus saliva.
As you would expect, all the participants were advocates of extending healthy lifespan. But at least one of those in attendance was less bullish on radical biotech-enabled life extension. Dr. David Perlmutter is a neurologist and noted author who focuses his attention on lifestyle issues and how they affect our longevity. David, tell us what your take is on all of this in relationship to the fact that you're a big advocate for lifestyle and nutrition.
Well, you know, I'm all in favor of the development of leading-edge technology. I think it's very, very exciting. I think it can really provide us incredible tools for dealing with challenging disorders. But I think that prevention is actually more important. I think preventing a disease in the first place makes sense. You know, the Neijing, the Yellow Emperor in the 4th century BC told us that prevention is the ultimate principle of wisdom. To cure a disease after it has manifest is like digging a well when one feels thirsty, or forging weapons when the war has already begun. I'm in favor of developing really cool ideas, but for our most pervasive chronic degenerative conditions globally, which represent the number one cause of death on the planet, we know that there are some important underlying mechanisms that are highly influenced by our lifestyle choices. So what I'm saying is, when we now see for the second year in a row that life expectancy in Americans has declined for both men and women, that's not some sudden gene mutation or some lack of high-end technology. It is an indication that our lifestyle choices are playing out in terms of poor health and restricting our longevity. So that said, I think getting the word out that the amount of sleep we get, the foods that we eat, the amount of exercise we get, and limiting stress and other factors are hugely important in helping to keep people healthy.
That's fine. I got to ask kind of a funny question here, but one of the suggestions I've heard from people is that if we cure all this damage of aging, that people are going to pay less attention to their health. They said, oh, well, that's fine. Then I can smoke, I can drink, I can eat what I want. Do you worry that could come out of this?
No, I think the application of these really very sophisticated technologies won't spread globally. I think that the people who ultimately are able to avail themselves of these unique technologies will be actually very few. That said, our mission to spread the understanding that lifestyle choices, particularly food, are extremely important in keeping people healthy, I think throws a much bigger net.
You say that the prevention is the best thing to do, but I recounted the story of my friend in the pharmaceutical industry who seemed to be against the extreme life extension, and I said, basically 80% of what we do in the pharmaceutical industry is to combat the diseases of aging. So if we combat aging, don't we kind of prevent a lot of those other diseases of aging?
Absolutely. I'm all in favor of that. And I don't think you need a pharmacist to make that happen for you. I think you can do it when you go home tonight and look at what you're having for dinner.
In the short term, I agree with Dr. Perlmutter, and I don't think anybody who is in that room for 2 days would dispute the notion that healthy life extension begins with wise lifestyle choices. But note this, while the mean human life expectancy has increased dramatically over the past 100 years, the maximum life expectancy has remained the same. The life extension movement is not just about achieving longer, healthier lifespan within that maximum, it's about radical extension of the maximum. Lifestyle choices alone are not likely to accomplish that. As for Dr. Perlmutter's suggestion that radical rejuvenation therapies will only be available to the few and leave out the many, I recall the very first Seeking Delphi podcast from January of 2017. In that episode, David Wood, author of The Abolition of Aging, forecast a 50% chance of widely available and affordable rejuvenation therapy by 2040. The need to make it more than just a luxury for the elite is not lost on most of the advocates. What happens if it isn't such, even if only at first, is an issue that will need to be dealt with. This was only the first step to the ultimate establishment of a Longevity X Prize. We'll hear more from the Foundation in the weeks and months to come about subsequent developments. In the meantime, keep an eye on the next major event, the Ending Aging-Related Diseases Conference, sponsored by the Life Extension Advocacy Foundation, to be held July 11th and 12th in New York City. I'll be there, and I'll have a report. Links to information about the Ending Age-Related Diseases Conference, as well as other subjects relevant to this program, can be found on the web at www.seekingdelphi.com. Don't forget to subscribe to Seeking Delphi on iTunes, Player FM, or YouTube, and to follow us on Facebook. My technical assistant is Mohammed Marouf, and until next time, I'm Mark Sackler.